Shavua Tov Umborach. B'Siyata Deshmaya, we are continuing our study of Sefer Tehillim. Tonight we are studying chapter Lamed Dalid, Perek Lamed Dalid 34, the chapter that begins with Le David B'Shanotor Ta'amo. In order to appreciate this chapter, we need an introduction. As we've said in all our previous shiurim, that every chapter that David HaMelech writes in the Tehillim is actually based on a story that was recorded already in the Nevi'im. And David HaMelech is praying for some sort of salvation based according to the trouble that he was in. This episode is very significant, where it talks about at a time where David HaMelech was questioning God, why he created Mishugaim in the world. David HaMelech didn't understand that God is good. What do you need to create people that are deranged? They don't make too much sense. The kids make fun of them. They drool on themselves. What does the society need Mishugaim? That was David HaMelech's question that he had to God. So God answered back, not only does the world need these Mishugaim, but one day, David, you're going to beg to be a Mishuga, and it's going to save your life. Based on what Shlomo HaMelech once said in his Mishleh, Baz ledavar yehabelo, which means when a person despises something, he ends up getting punished by that item. So it's as if David HaMelech, you question me, what do you need Mishugaim? One day you're going to become a Mishugai yourself, and then you're going to testify that it was necessary. When did this happen? This was happening at a time when David HaMelech was running away from Shaul HaMelech, which has been the theme of almost every chapter that we've studied. And David HaMelech ran to Nov Ir HaKohanim. When he got to Nov Ir HaKohanim, he sought asylum there for a little while, and he still had to continue to run away. So he thought that he can go to Gat. Gat was in the territory of the Pilishtim. The king of Gat, his name was Achish. So he thought to run to Achish Melech Gat, thinking that he's going to protect him. Now, the bodyguards of Achish Melech Gat happened to be the brothers of Goliath. David HaMelech had just slain Goliath. He killed him. So, if you think about it, that really wasn't the best place to run away, knowing that now you're going to be faced against the bodyguards who are the brothers of Goliath. And the bodyguards went to Achish Melech Gat, and they told him, listen, he wants to seek asylum over here, we gotta kill him. He killed our man, he killed our brother, who's Goliath is the strong man of Pilishtim. So the king, shockingly, tells the bodyguards, hey listen, war is war, he won fair and square. He didn't do anything deceitful. There was a battlefield. And the laws of war is the strongest man wins. And you know, we're not going to kill a guy for winning a war according to the rules. I mean, he didn't hit him from behind. There wasn't an ambush over here. They were face to face. And he won. So the brothers of Goliath say, oh, you want to be so honest. So if you're being so honest, step down and let David be the king of Pilishtim. He says, what are you talking about? He says, because in that war that Goliath was fighting, Goliath said, the one that wins the war is going to rule on the other one's nation. David won. Goliath was representing us, Pilishtim. You shouldn't be the king of Pilishtim. Abdicate the throne and give the kingdom to David. He won the war. If you're so preaching fair and square, so fair and square. He's the king now. When it came to the kingdom, then already he started looking at it a different way. Then all the fair and square went out the window. And Achish Melech Gat says, fine, kill him. Now the bodyguards are going to come running after David HaMelech. David HaMelech is nervous. How's he going to get saved? So he prays to God, please God, save me. Give me a bout of insanity. Make me go insane, temporary insanity. and maybe that'll save me from the king. Sure enough, they catch up with David HaMelech, and David HaMelech is acting like a wild man. He's drooling all over himself, and it says his nose was running, and he was just making all sorts of sounds. And they bring him to the palace, and he's unruly. His clothes are all disheveled, and he starts to write on the walls of the palace, "The king owes me, you know, 1,000,000 shekel, and his wife owes me 500,000 shekel. So now the king saw this. He said, "Well, you bring me a crazy man to the palace? Were you trying to embarrass me? This man's insane over here. He's no harm, not to us, not to you. You must be bringing him here only to deride me, making fun of me." Now add to the story that Achish Melech got, his wife was also insane, and his daughters and children were insane as well. So when David HaMelech came into the palace and started acting like he was crazy, it woke up Achish's wife. You know, the crazy people attract each other. And all of a sudden, the wife came out of the palace, and the kids came out of the palace. Everybody's jumping around like a circus in the palace, and they're making all sorts of noise and things like that. So Achish Melech Gat, and a classic phrase in Tanakh says, "Hasir Meshugaim Ani? What am I? I'm lacking Meshugaim. I don't have enough problems. You brought another Meshugah to my palace over there. Get him out of here. What is it? What does it mean? If I have enough trouble with my own Meshugaim, you had to bring me another one?" So the king says, "Get him out. Am I killing him? What am I going to kill him for? He's not a threat. He's crazy. Just get rid of him." And sure enough, the temporary insanity that David HaMelech went through saved his life. So that's the background of this Tehillim, where David HaMelech is now going to thank God for that situation. So this is a Tehillim of gratitude for his madness. Le David. בשנותו את טעמו לפני אבי מלך ויגרשהו וילך. לדוד, בשנותו means when he changed, when God changed. Et ta'amo, ta'amo is his brain. When a person has ta'am, he has rationale, he has reason. לדוד, song of David, בשנותו את טעמו, when God changed his intellect, he switched him from somebody insane to somebody from sanity to insanity. And I want you to know that Mefarshim want to say, it wasn't a disguise. Which means David just didn't act like an insane man, because if you act like one, you could detect that it's a charade. God actually gave him insanity, which means he really had the temporary, he went crazy. Became a madman. So בשנותו טעמו לפני אבי מלך, in front of אבי מלך. Now the Mefarshim will be also question the name אבי מלך. His name was Achish Melech Gat. So why do they refer to him over here as אבי מלך? So some want to say that אבי מלך is the generic name that all the kings of Philistim had. Just like Paro is the generic name of all the pharaohs of Egypt, even though they had names to themselves, but they call them Paro. So to over here, his name is Achish, but he's the Pharaoh. He's Avimelech. That's what they call them. The Midrash wants to say a little deeper. The Midrash wants to say that they nicknamed him Avimelech because he's reminiscent of an earlier Avimelech that sent Avraham and Yitzhak out of their country, out of his country without harming them. So to Avimelech over here does the same, Achish, sending David out of his country without harming him. So therefore they say he's like the first king of Philistine. Hence, they call him Abimelech like the first one. Now, the Pasuk says, Vaygareshehu. They chased him out. Now, this is also a chidush, because David's an enemy, obviously. He killed Goliath. The king should have suspected that maybe this is temporary insanity. I mean, he knew it was temporary insanity because he knew David wasn't a madman. He knows he was able to kill Goliath. So the king should have just killed David for insurance. What does it cost for the king to take a dagger and stick it through him? I mean, it's not even a long, drawn-out process. So the Al-Sheikh comes along and says this was part of the miracle, Vaygareshehu, which means he just had no patience for him. He just, get out of here. Take a gun, shoot one bullet, he's over. And then the Al-Sheikh goes a step further, Vayelach. Vayelach means he left. How come the bodyguards didn't chase him? Which means the brothers of Goliath, I mean, they're not so religious that they're worried about the blood of David HaMelech. So now it becomes a Meshuggah. So the king says, I'll send Meshuggah, I'm going to get rid of him. Okay, so get rid of him. Throw him out, and they should say that on the way out of the city, the brothers of Goliath went and killed him. So the Hiddush was number one, Vayichareshehu, that the king let him go, and Vayelach, that he was able to leave without being pursued. Now there should be just a point. I saw one of the Sefarim brings down Bishanoto Tamo Lefne Avimelech, in front of Avimelech. So they want to say that David HaMelech was a prophet. You have to know he was a Navi. Now we never saw a Navi have prophecy, but the Pesukim in Tanakh, when they refer to somebody that has prophecy, they say that they're so entranced in meditation or whatever it might be that they give the impression of a Meshuggah. But it's not really Meshuggah. It's just they're in a different, you know, different place, and therefore they're not here. So therefore it looks like they're acting in a mad way, but it's really not so. That means if the Chachamim would have seen David in this state, they might have said, oh, he's having a Nivuah again. But Avimelech doesn't know what a Nivuah is, he never saw it. So therefore the Pasuk says, LeDavid b'shanoto et ta'amo lefne Avimelech, which means to Avimelech, he was, you know, he never saw such a thing, so he couldn't attribute it to a Nivuah. So he said, man's crazy. But to somebody else, to David Acham might have been, he would have recognized it. Now I saw another darshan on this pasuk. Explain it in a little different light based on current events of that rabbi that was writing his derash. We can't appreciate it that much, Baruch Hashem, in our generation when we talk about mandatory drafts in the army. But not too long ago in other countries, I'm not talking about Eretz Yisrael, but in Russia and Europe, there were mandatory drafts into the Russian army, for example, including Jews. And there was almost a certain guarantee if you joined the Russian army, not if you joined it, if you drafted, there goes your religion. I mean, they're not letting you celebrate holidays, they're not letting you eat kasher, they're not letting you pray. And unfortunately, the history says that a lot of people that came out of the Russian army came out like Russians, atheists, disbelievers in God. I want to point out that the Hafez Chaim himself, in the early 1900s, the end of the 1800s, he wrote many sefarim, small kuntresim really, pamphlets like, but we have the books today, really giving hezuk to these soldiers that were in the Russian army, keep the faith, you know, keep the religion, don't give up, meaning this was a big nisayon of the time where the Gedolei Yisrael were constantly being asked questions. Please pray for my son that he doesn't get drafted. Please make a tefillah. That was when they would, you know, read the Tehillim list in the synagogues. The main request, the men, they were on the list, not to get a defuah shirema, but to be dismissed somehow from the army. And he writes, this rabbi that's writing the Perush, that really obviously was in crisis because besides the regular people that were drafted into the army, which is a terrible thing, but there were a lot of Talmidei Chachamim that also had to stand in front of the board, and they were also going to be drafted, and the Torah was in jeopardy because who was going to now study Torah? You know, forget about put the layman on the side, but the perpetuation of Talmud Torah was in jeopardy as well. So he writes that miracles were happening left and right, that when Talmidei Chachamim were coming in front of the draft board, students that were studying yeshiva, even though they were able-bodied, healthy, there was no reason why they should have received a dismissal, for some reason many of those Talmidei Chachamim for some reason just received papers, and we hear stories that they were exempt. So the rabbi writes over here, LeDavid b'shanoto et ta'amo, when Borei Olam change their reasoning. Lifnei Abimelech. Abimelech is the government. Abimelech is the Malchut. When the Talmidei Chachamim sometimes would come in front of the draft board, and all of a sudden the draft board would look at them as if they were Meshuga'in. For some reason they looked at them as they weren't worthy to come to the army. And they would just send them to go home. So he says, this pasuk was fulfilled in our time. Again, we don't know a specific story that he was referring to, but it seems there was enough episodes for him to make this comment on this Tehillim, where you see there was Hashkahat Hashem, that a lot of those people that went, and maybe some people know from World War II and stories like that, of families that, you know, they were mandatory drafted, and all of a sudden, they told them, go home, because they thought something was wrong, where really, there was nothing wrong. Abarechat Adonai Bechol Et Tamit Elato Befi. David HaMelech says that I learned from over here that you have to bless God at all times. Kohelet in his Shlomo HaMelech in his Kohelet lists 28 different itim. There's a time for this and a time for that. There's 28 different times. Some of them are good times and some of them are not so good times. David HaMelech, after learning that even mental derangement can be to somebody's benefit, he said, you know what I learned from here? Abarechat Hashem bechol et. I bless God at all times. The good times for sure, but even the bad times, you see that it's Hashem. Yudke Vavke is Midat Rahamim. And therefore, Abarechat Hashem, I see that it's God's manifestation of Midat Rahamim. Bechol et at all times. Tamid elato befi. And therefore the blessings of God are always in my mouth. He realized you have to be thankful for all situations. Bechol et. But there's a famous Hatam Sofer on these Pesukim. That's worthy to say over. There is a concept in religion where it's almost a catch-22 situation. Our religion demands from us a certain measure of consistency. Torah wants us to be consistent in our service. We must come to synagogue every day. We must put on talit and tefillin every day. We must study Torah every day. And those that are consistent, devar yom biyomo, so they're very praiseworthy. Those are the loyal servants of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But with consistency, it's what the rabbis call aliyah v'kotzba. It's a beautiful piece of meat, but there's a thorn in it. And what's the thorn of consistency? Consistency breeds regularity, which breeds a robotical service, which breeds what the Mefarshim refer to as mitzvat anashim milumada. You get used to it, and then you just do it as habit. That's what it is. It just, you become habitually religious, and it just becomes routine, and it becomes mechanical, and you're just coming to shul because it's what you're used to doing. It just becomes a schedule. So on one hand, it's great to be regimented, but on the other hand, a regiment causes you to turn into a robot. It's a catch 22. The rabbi says, you gotta come every day. Good, I'm coming every day. But because I'm coming every day, now I'm just doing it in my sleep. So one has to try to overcome that measure of consistency and not to let routine set in. The mitzvah anashim milumada. So the Chatam Sofer says like this. Where in our lives do you see this mitzvat anashim milumada the most pronounced? He says that's in our berachot, in making berachot. Look how many times or how fast we make berachot without even thinking what we're doing, what we're eating. How many times does a person just say a beracha or think to himself, did I make the beracha or didn't I? Because when we're making the berachot, we're not thinking at all. As a matter of fact, I think I heard it from Rabbi Friend. He once said that when he was onen, he realized how much mitzvat anashim melumad, that this robotical concept of making berachot applies, because an onen is not allowed to make berachot. And he noticed himself just instinctively picking up a glass of water and saying the beracha. But you're not allowed to say the beracha, but it's just something you're so used to doing, so the beracha just comes out of your mouth, because we're not even thinking. It's just something that's, it becomes like a knee-jerk reaction. It's something like it's even out of our control. So the Hatam Sofer writes like this: David HaMelech was self-chastising himself. After he became a Meshuga, After he became insane, now he got his da'at back. He said, but you know what? He says, even though I'm not insane now, but I'm bringing insanity upon myself. And you know when we act like an insane man, like a crazy man? When we're making our berachot, because we're not even thinking what we're doing. Abarecha et Hashem bechol et. He says, we're making berachot at all times. Tamid tehillato, the praise of God is befi. It's just in my mouth, it's lip service. I don't mean it. What you, I'm just spewing out words, Baruch Atah Hashem, but it's befi. I don't even know what I'm saying. Half the time I don't even know if I said the right beracha. And after I made the beracha, I questioned, did I say the beracha? It's total insanity. That's a sane man that's bringing insanity upon himself. The problem is we're blessing God becholet at all times. And it's just befi. It's mitzvat anashim min umada. Like the pasuk says, Befiv ublashon kimbeduni. They respected me with their mouth, v'libam rachok mimeni, but their heart is far from me. So which is a tremendous musar, which means, you know, everybody says that we're not insane, we're not crazy, but if you look at the way we serve Borei Olam, it's one time they did it in the synagogue, they wanted to make a point to show you that a person could be so religious in the synagogue, but he's just somewhere else, he's not even thinking about the service. So it was a Tuesday in the synagogue. Tuesday, there's no Sefer Torah. And the fellow was just sitting in his seat, and like he's in la-la land with the Siddur in front of him. And all of a sudden, one of the guys come up to him and says, oh, piti hayu, put back the Sefer Torah. He jumps out of his seat. Okay. They said, well, where are you going? Where are you going? There's no Sefer Torah, no nothing. Where are you jumping? The guy's not even, they're just so used to sitting there. You can tell him to close the Hechal. You forgot to close the Hechal. He runs up. He's looking at what he's talking about. It took him 2 seconds to realize that it's only a Tuesday. The Pasuk, Pasuk Gimel, Ba'adonai Tetalel Nafshi Yishmi'u Anavim V'yismachu. Ba'ashem Tetalel Nafshi, in Hashem does my soul glory. May humble ones hear and be glad. What is David HaMelech saying in this Pasuk? Ba'ashem Tetalel Nafshi, which means a truly humble person does not take any credit for his own accomplishments. The humble man truly recognizes that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore anything that he accomplished and all his talents and all his gifts and all his successes, he attributes them back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he gives God praise for them. He doesn't say, Kuhay ve'otzim yadi a'atzar asali et ha'ayel hazeh. Like the Pasuk says in Kohelet, that Yahalil Chazar, which means others should praise you, but you shouldn't self-aggrandize yourself and praise yourself. So David HaMelech says, Bahashem Titalel Nafshi, which means my praise is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't take any credit for myself. It's all Borei Olam. Yishmi'u anavim v'yismachu. Let the humble ones hear and be happy. Because it's usually the humble people that the ones that have the most difficult lives. And their tragedy causes them to become humble. David HaMelech says, let the humble people hear my story, they'll be happy. Because they'll see that even when I went through insanity, which looks like a bad situation, that really was ultimately good. Yishmi'u anavim, let the humble downtrodden people see my story, they'll be happy, which means I'm a story of hope for them. That their episodes of life that are also difficult, They'll be able to look at it through me, and therefore they'll be happy to know that God is watching them and God is supervising over them as well. Gaddilu ladunai iti. David HaMelech says, literally, he's telling his friends, his sympathizers, those that are humble, declare the greatness of Hashem with me. Gaddilu Hashem iti. Let us exalt His name together. Now the Al-Sheikh explains over here that this was a halachic pasuk over here. Unromema shemo yahdav is referring to David calling a minyan of men and saying, come join me as I make birkat gomel. Because the halacha says when somebody's in danger, like David HaMelech was in danger in this case over here, where they almost tried to kill him, he was saved. So therefore, David HaMelech says, I have to make gomel, like the Gemara Berachot quotes the pasuk, v'iromemuhu b'kal am, moshav zekirim yahaleluhu. So you have to have a minyan of people. So David HaMelech says, unromema shemo yahdav, come, let me exalt God's name together. But the Malbim has a different interpretation here. And the Gaon Mevilna has a similar perush. It's worthy to know in Lashon HaKodesh there's two distinct terminologies. There's the word Gadol and there's the word Ram. Gadol is not Ram and Ram is not Gadol. What is the difference between them? The word Ram is literally exalted. That refers to something that is only high but is not low. Gadol, on the other hand, is something that is high, but has its roots also on the ground. For example, a tree, we will call Gadol. Because although it's a very high tree, but it's also low, it also has its roots on the ground. An airplane, while it's flying in the air, we might say it's Ram. Because it's just flying in the air. That's just an example I'm giving you. But let's refer to these two terminologies regarding to Borei Olam. The way we look at Borei Olam and the way the Goyim look at Borei Olam is very, very differently. We look at Borei Olam as although he's all the way up in the Shamayim, but he's intimately involved with what's going on earth. To us, God is truly Gadol. He's up high, but he's down below as well. Which means the Hashkaha Piratit. He's watching and micromanaging everything that's taking place. But to the Goyim, God is somewhere up there in the Olavot, and He doesn't get involved with the pettiness of human beings. He's just Ram. The Pasuk says on the Pasuk, Ram al kol Goyim Adonai, al Hashamayim kebodo. To the Goyim, God is Ram. Where is God's glory? Allah Shamayim Kibodo. Yeah, His glory is in the Shamayim, but He doesn't have too much to do on the earth. Another Pasuk says, Adonai B'Siyon Gadol, V'Ram Hu Al Kol Ha'amim. Hashem to Tzion, to the Jews, is Gadol. God is up, God is down. V'ram u'al kol goyim. But when it comes to the goyim, God is Ram. He's just up, but he's has no understanding. Ben Minnam was taking place on earth. But if we want to be accurate, we also believe that as much as God has His manifestation on earth, but there's a certain part of our understanding of the Kadosh Baruch Hu that's also beyond us. We also believe that nobody can understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and even though we believe that He's intimately involved with what's going on earth, but we also believe God's ultimate Kiddusha is really in the Shamayim. Like we say in the Aleinu L'Shabayach, Umoshav Yekaro B'Shamayim Imah, which means Umoshav Yekaro, the true seat of His glory is Bashamayim. So we really believe in both. We believe in the Gadol, and we also believe that there's a Ram factor as well. So David HaMelech says like this, To those that understand that God is supervising on earth, Gedelu l'Adonaiti. Let us refer to God as a Gadol together. Come and let's sing the Gadlut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to those that don't understand that God's Gadol, to those that only say that God's Ram, Unromema Shemo Yadav, I can relate to you as well. Because regarding to God's Shem, His name, the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is His essence. We cannot understand His essence either. Yes, Shemo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ram. We can only try to understand God through His Midot, through what's called the Sefirot, but the ultimate Shem, the Keter itself, Unromema Shemo Yahdab. So therefore, David is giving us the proper Ashkafa. There's the Gadol element, and then there's the Ram element as well. Unromema Shemo, God's essence. Unromema Malkol Berachah Utila. We also say that. David HaMelech says, Darashti et Adonai ve'anani u'mikol megurotai hesilani. Darashti et Hashem, I sought out Hashem when I was by Achish Melech Gat. I cried out to God that He should save me. Ve'anani, and He answered me. U'mikol megurotai hesilani. Now what does the word megurotai mean? Megurotai means those that terrorized me. For example, you see in the Torah the word Vayagor Moav. Moav was scared. Moav was afraid. So Megurotai means those that made me afraid. David HaMelech is specifically referring to the bodyguards of Achish Melech Gat, and the Mefarshim say Shaul HaMelech as well, like we learned in last week's Shi'ur. Shaul had a certain type of weapon that he hurled at David HaMelech's head several times to try to kill him. So David HaMelech says, you answered me, umikol megurotai, to all those that terrorized me and I was afraid of them, hisilani, you saved me. Hibitu elav venaharu, ufnehem al yihparu, which literally means, all those that are in distress, what do they do? Hibitu elav. They look at God for help. But at the time they're going through distress, their life is dark. There's choshech. They're living in darkness. Hibitu elav. When they turn to God in their distress, what happens to them? Venaharu. Naharu is lashon nehora. Nehora is light. God redeems them and they go from Oshech to Or. Ufnehem al yihparu, and their faces are not shamed. Which means when I go to somebody and ask them for something and the person rejects me, I walk away and my face is shamed. I was turned down. Those that turn to Borei Olam, Darashti et Hashem ve'anani, the pasuk says, Hibitu elav v'naharu. You turn to God and your face becomes illuminated. Ufnehem al yihparu. Their face is not ashamed because God answers and God fulfills the request. And therefore nobody turns away from God with their face humiliated. Ze'ani kara v'ashem shameya. The poor man cries out to God and God listens. Rav Chaim Vital writes, it doesn't say v'Hashem Yishma in the future. Hashem Shameya is present. God listens. And He bases it on a pasuk that says, Od Hem Medaberim v'Ani Yishma. When the Ani calls out to God, God answers the Ani as he's praying. Which means the prayers are sometimes answered immediately, because they're praying like Aniim with genuine sincerity. Hone malach Adonai saviv lidyav vayhalitzim. What does this pasuk say? The angel of Hashem surrounds the ones that fear God. Hone malach Hashem, the angel of God is encamped around who? Saviv Lideav. Where do we see this? The Ibn Ezra says that when David was in trouble with Achish Melech Gat, God dispatched an angel in order to come and save him. Similarly to Daniel, when he was in the Gova Arayot, when he was in the lion's den, God sent angels down then also to protect him. Almost like when Yaakov Abinu was going against Esav, God sent Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim, God sent Malachim also to protect Yaakov Abinu. So the Pasuk is saying, Chone Malach Hashem Saviv, that God dispatches angels around those that fear him. Vayhaletzim. Now how do you understand the word Vayhaletzim? So one interpretation was the simple, he releases them. Which means there's a menace that's surrounding the person, so the Malach comes along and releases the victim from his enemies. But the Malbim understands that by Halitzim comes from the Lashon Halutz Milchama. Halutz means to be armed, which means somebody that is defenseless, God sends an angel by Halitzim that protects him like an armory that is able to protect himself. The angel is like his weapon. By Halitzim, God gives him weaponry. Now there's an interesting Harambam. We're already quoting this Pasuk. Not too often are we able to open a Harambam in the Halakha and find a Pasuk in Tehillim that's quoted. But this Pasuk is quoted by Harambam in his Halakha. Anybody guess where would Harambam quote this Pasuk? Chone malach Hashem saviv lira'a by Halitzim. None other than Hilchot Mezuzah. Actually, the last halakha in Hilchot Mezuzah, Perek Vav Halakha Yud Gimal. You can always remember this Rambam because it's 613. Perek Vav Halakha Yud Gimal. 613, the last halakha in Hilchot Mezuzah, and I quote, Hayav Adam Lehizahir B'Mezuzah Mepenei Shehichovat Hakol Tamid V'Chol Et Sheyikanes V'Yetze Yifga B'Yichud Shemo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Could be this is the source where we have when people go in and out of a house or a room, they kiss the mezuzah. Saddam Bomb's language is that anytime he enters or exits, Yifga B'Yichud Shemo, he will literally, Yifga you can mean will come in contact with, but Yifga you could learn to be pogaya, to actually touch the Yehud Hashem, to come in contact with the oneness of God. Mezuzah reminds us that there's God. Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yizkor ahavato. Remember how much God loves us in the Kiryat Shema, which is in the Mezuzah, says ve'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha. God loves us, we love God, it's reciprocal. V'yir'ur mishinato. The Mezuzah also serves as an alarm clock to wake us up from our sleep. V'shigiyato, and our mistakes. When you see the mezuzah, you're reminded there's more than materialism, there's more than the physical benefits. The mezuzah reminded there's God in the world, there's Alam Abba. It's like a stark reminder of priorities. V'yeda she'en sham davar ha'omed le'olam ul'olme olamim ela yidi'at sur ha'olam. That the only thing that's eternal is Surah Olam. How does the mezuzah remind you that the only thing that's eternal is God? So I once heard an explanation. A person goes into an old building. He walks in and he sees the mezuzah in the building. And the building's been around for 100 years. And he thinks to himself, where are all those occupants of the building? They're no longer here anymore. But the mezuzah is still on the doorpost. When a person sees a mezuzah on the door, he's reminded that the inhabitants, they come and go. Which means the tenant can change 100 times over, and the mezuzah just remains on the wall. God is eternal, but people are temporary. And that's why when you see a mezuzah, the mezuzah usually outlives the occupant. And therefore you're reminded that the only thing that's kayam le'olme olamim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu miyad. Uchozer l'dato. Look what the mezuzah used to do in the olden days. You'd look at a mezuzah, you'd ponder a little, right away you make teshuvah. Ve'olech midarchei misharim. The mezuzah had such a power. I don't think it lost its power, by the way. The mezuzah is still just as powerful as it was 2,000 years ago. It's just that we don't give the mezuzah a chance to affect us, because we're too busy running in and running out, so the perfunctory slap on the mezuzah, just to recognize that it's there. But he's saying if you would ponder what the mezuzah represents, every time you walk in and walk out, I mean, you'd probably miss your lift if you think every time, spend 5 minutes by the mezuzah, you'd never be on time for anything, but it's different. Amru hachamim, kol mi sheyesh lo tefillin berosho ubizra'o. Person that wears tefillin on his arm and on his head, v'sisit bebigdo, and he has a seat on his garment, u'mezuzah befetcho, and a mezuzah on his doorpost, and he walks through the doorpost now, so he has three mitzvot that he's surrounded by. Muhzak lo shelo yeheta. It's almost a hazakah. You could assume this man is protected. He's not going to sin. Sharei yeshto mazkirim rabim. It's not a guarantee that he's not going to sin. It's just odds are he has so many reminders. How could he sin? The tefillin is reminding him of God. The sisit is reminding him of the tariyag mitzvot. He's got the mezuzah in his door that's reminding him of yidiat sud ha'olam. Vehen hen ha-malachim shematzilim oto melachto. Those are the actual angels that are generated from these mitzvot, that the angels will protect you from sin. Shene emar, chone malach Adonai saviv li'av v'chalitzim. Which means, according to Rambam, when a person is involved in mitzvot, he's actually creating malachim. And those malachim are going to protect the person from sin, which means there's a certain reality over here at the time of mitzvah. Hence, we understand many different episodes now in our Torah based on this Rambam. One episode is this week's Parasha. It says Yaakov kept the Tariyag Mitzvot and Laban Zas. Im Laban Garti, the Tariyag Mitzvot Shamarti. Now, that's lip service for Esav. Now, I could also say, I kept the Tariyag Mitzvot. Prove it that you kept the Tariyag Mitzvot. You know, Esav can come along and say, he claims he kept the Tariyag Mitzvot and he's still religious. How do I know? Vayishlach Yaakov malachim lefanav. He sent angels. Who were those angels? Those were the angels that were created from the Tariyag Mitzvot that he fulfilled. So you had an army of 613 angels stand in front of Esav and say, yes, he kept the Tariyag Mitzvot, the Tariyag Mitzvot Shamarti. He count them up. The Tariyag Mitzvot is standing in front of the Malach itself. There's a spiritual body that is created from the performance of the Mitzvot. Now we can understand another pasuk. Avraham Avinu does the Akedat Yitzhak. So the pasuk comes along and says that the God calls, or the Malach calls Avraham in Hashamayim, and says, you know, Al Tishtach Yadecha Lanar, Ve'al Ta'aso Be'uma, Ki Ata Yadati Ki Yireh Elohim Ata, Ve'lo Hasachta Et Pincha Et Shechidecha Memeni. Says, now we know that you're a God-fearing, you didn't hold back from sacrificing your son, you were about to do it, you are holy. So I saw one of the Mefarshim say, what does it mean? It should say the person, hasachta et pincha chichidecha. You didn't hold back from sacrificing your son. What is the pasuk mimeni? Who was talking in this pasuk? The angel. The angel that was created from Akedat Yitzhak was standing in front of Avraham Avinu and says, now you know. How do you know? Mimeni, look at me. Look how perfect I am. Look at what you've just created. You've created the flawless Malach. And that's the biggest indication, mimeni, from me, that you are God-fearing and that you fulfill this mitzvah with perfect intent. The Malach that was created from the Akedat Yitzhak. And that's what Hanabam is telling us. If we start to look at it on this way, where Every time a person puts on tefillin, there's malachim that he created. And every time he put on tzitzit, there's malachim that are created. Chone malach Hashem saviv lira'av. We don't have that vision. But if we would have the vision, you'd see that every single Jew that's fulfilling this world, there's an army of angels that are surrounding him at all times. Because he's the father of the mitzvot. I'll have to point out as well that just like we don't see the malachim, we also don't see the mazikim, which is to our advantage. It's good we don't have that vision, because you can't have selective vision. It's either you see all or nothing. And if you see the other stuff, the pasuk says also, Yipol misiddecha elef urbava miminecha edecha lo yigash. It says that everybody has on their right side mazikim, and on their left side mazikim, and the Gemara says, the nefishi minan, they're bigger than us, and they hover over us like a pot, cover over a pot, which means they're right on top of us. And if we'd be able to see it, en kol biriya yecholim na'amod mepneze, which means you wouldn't be able to handle it if you see the mazikim around us. But one thing is for certain, when a person creates, does a mitzvah, mazikim bedelim emenu, like the Gemara says. Then anybody that studies Torah, does a mitzvah, it neutralizes the air around them. All of a sudden the malach comes and standing next to him. Once the malach stands next to him, all the mazikim, they go away. And we shouldn't take these gemariot lightly. When the Gemara says that when a person comes on Leil Shabbat from the Bet Knesset, he's walking home with two malachim. There's two malachim that are standing next to him. And one malach comes along when he walks into his house, and the table is set lechmod Shabbat, and the candles are lit, and everybody's dressed lechmod Shabbat. So the good angel says, Yehi Ratzon, just like this man kept the Shabbat with beautiful kavod this week, Yehi Ratzon, he should be able to do the same thing next week. And the negative angel that's on the other side answers, Amen, Baal Korho, against his will. But the Gemara says the opposite. When a person on Friday night, Leil Shabbat, in his house, there's no Shemirat Shabbat, and there's Lo Alechem television on, and there's all sorts of, I'm saying to the wrong crowd, but there's things that are not proper. So the angel on the left side says, oh, I love this. Bezat Hashem, Yehi Ratzon. Every week should be like this. Next week also, you should have the same Shabbat. And the good angel answers, Amen, against this will. And that's when we walk into the house on Friday night. What's the first thing we say? Shalom Aleichem, Anachei Asheret. It's a reality. It's not just, there is a reality in this world that there's angels. It's not, only the Mekubalim have the angels. Everybody has angels around. Harambam, when he wrote this halakha in the Kumbh, he was only talking about Yeshivat Bet El, Yeshivat the Mekubalim. He was talking to every single Jew. Harambam is writing the Yad HaZakah for every single person. So you have to know, Rabotai, you're sitting in the Torah class now. The pasuk says that anybody that's involved in reshif is Torah, all the mazikim bedelim emenu, and instead is malachim. That's why it says in the I saw one of the sefarim bring down to show you this reality that it says when they used to go under a chuppah, for example, everybody under a chuppah. No matter how many people are under the chuppah, how many people are not under the chuppah, chuppah always feels crowded for some reason. So they say because there's a lot of malachim that come down to the chuppah as well. So under the chuppah, it's tight always because there's a lot of neshamot and deceased people are coming. So there's much more people under the chuppah than you think is there. Okay, that could be just a dirasha that they're making, but the point is, there's much more. When the Arizal used to go to the shiur of the Al Sheikh Hakadosh, Rabbi Moshe Al Sheikh was the darshan of Sfat in his time, and the Arizal lived at the same time, and he would go to the shiurim of the Al Sheikh. Could you imagine? So the Al Sheikh one time is in the middle of giving a dirasha. And he's giving a derasha on Parashat Vayetze, last week's parasha. And the Arizal's laughing, and he's nodding his head. So the Sheikh asked him after shiur, what are you laughing? What was happening? He said, when you were explaining Lavan, how he tricked Yaakov 100 times on his salary, he says, Lavan was listening to the shiur, he came down to hear the shiur, and every time you explained a different method, Lavan was saying, yes, that's right. So I was laughing at you, 100%. Lavan agrees to the shiur. Yeah, you have him down pat. So one time, the Ariza was sitting in the shiur of the Al-Sheikh, And in the middle of the shi'ud, Ariza gets up and walks out. The sheikh was offended. He says, Hakam, did I say anything wrong? He says, no, but in the middle of the shi'ud, you snapped, or you clapped in, and there was an ounce of ga'ava in the shi'ud, and the malachim left. So once the malachim left, I said, if that's not good for them, I'm leaving also. So I walked out with the malachim. So you see, to these people, there was a mitzi'ut. We can't see the malachim. Yes, but the Arizal could see the malachim. That's why don't give me that excuse. When you walk out of the shiur early, don't tell me you because the malachim left. I mean, I don't doubt that the malachim left, but you don't see the malachim. And that's the difference. As a matter of fact, just to show you the reality of these things, there was one big Rebbe. He was making the Kiddush on El Shabbat. And he didn't have the Siddur in front of him. And in the middle of the Kiddush, he got all flustered. He forgot the words. And it was a little laughing stock. You know, all the Hasidim around the Rebbe doesn't know Kiddush by heart. We say it every week, week in and week out. And he's fumbling on the words of the Kiddush. So the great Rebbe, in his humility, he didn't know why they were laughing. So he said, yeah, you'll forgive me, but when I lifted up the Kiddush to make the Beracha, the angels came into the room, and when I saw the Malachim, so I lost my concentration. Oh, so all the students felt embarrassed. Oh, okay, we thought he was forgetting the Kiddush. Really, there's Malachim, and they tell stories of the Baal Tokeya. It's one of them from the Lanyaro dynasty. Maybe they're the son of the Shlomo Lanyaro, was Abedin in Halab. He used to blow the shofar every year. And then either he got sick or he passed away, so his son took over the job to blow in the big kness in Halab to blow the shofar. So what happened? He couldn't get any of the sounds out. It was very hard for him to blow the shofar. So when they asked him, what, your father blows the tikiot like nothing, you can't even get one sound out. So he says, in the Yiratzon, before the tikiot, we say, and please God, send down all the malachim from heaven and let them carry up the tiki'ah and the shivarim and the tiru'ah. Call the malachim, right? Let them carry up these sounds. So he says, my father, he was used to seeing angels. So when the angels would come down to take the tiki'ot, he wouldn't get nervous. He says, but me, I'm not used to seeing malachim. So when I said this, the malachim, I was trying to see angels in front of me, but I couldn't get a sound out. Now these are not stories of 1,000 years ago. These are stories of people that they could trace it back, that we know these people who they were. There's a reality that there's an inyan of malachim, and therefore we say choneh Hashem saviv malacha choneh malach Hashem saviv l'ra'av, which means the malachim that actually surround those that it could be today there's hakamim. That are able to see these malachim. One rabbi said, brought down in the Sefarim, if you look at the numerical value of the word malach, the numerical value of the word malach is 91. 91 is the same numerical value of the two shemot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Havaya, Adanut. Yudke Vavke is 26, and Adanut is 65, Aleph Dal, and the Nun Yud, 65 and 26, 91, which means the malach is really a manifestation of Havaya Adonut, of the divine presence. So therefore, when the malachim are surrounding a person, this mamash, the shekhinah is next to him. And it's in our ability to accomplish this, which means we have to know our, I don't want to say the word greatness, because I don't want anybody to walk out of the shiur feeling hasbash shalom ga'ava, but you have to know our power. When it says in the Pasuk that we are created b'tzelem elokim, Rav Chaim V'lozhin explains, what does tzelem elokim mean? We have the image of God. Chas v'shalom. En lo guf ve'en lo demut haguf. God has no image. God has no physical. How can we say tzelem elokim? The explanation is we have the same properties of a kadosh baruch hu. Meaning, just like God has the ability to create, so too human beings have the ability to create. Create what? Just like God creates olamot, we also have the ability to create olamot, which means when we do mitzvot, we are creating spiritual entities. And you have to know that. And therefore it puts us in such a exalted ability. A goy, he doesn't have these kohot. A goy's actions do not reach the upper world where they can come down now and create malachim. But the Hafez Chaim said that what's going to happen? when a person makes avirot, he's also creating malachim. It's not only a one-way street. So he came on and said, when a person fulfills the mitzvah without kavanah, he created an angel without a head. Because since you fulfilled the mitzvah without a head, so the angel they created has no head. If a person does the mitzvah lazy, so maybe the legs of the malach cut. Or if he doesn't do the mitzvah wholeheartedly, the heart of the, which means it's not just you get a perfect malach. To create a perfect malach, the mitzvah has to be done perfectly. However, when a person does an avera, if a person does the avera with all his kavanot and all his passion, the malach that's created is a big, healthy malach. So therefore, one malach of a bad sin can negate many mitzvot. So if you're going to work with the scales, so you put, you know, 5 or 10 disabled malachim, and you put one, you know, healthy, strong malach, it can outweigh it. So therefore, it's not enough to create malachim. You have to work on creating malachim that are hazakim, that have all their parts to it. And that's why dikduk in mitzvot, precision in mitzvot is vital. Because even a little extra kavanah, a little extra passion, a little extra movement, a little extra thought makes a world of difference in the size of the malach and in the light that shines from the malach and in the protection factor of the malach. So you shouldn't think, I did the mitzvah. I got a malach. What type of malach did you create? And that's what, it's fascinating that Harambam, who usually doesn't get into this, it sounds like almost a Kabbalistic subject, angels being created, but he says, that there's mamash, a reality. No one should say, the Rambam didn't believe in angels. Oh, who doesn't believe in angels? We all believe it. And when you talk about people that saw angels, I know specifically some members of the community that are not crazy people, that you could take their testimony as testimony that they saw malachim. They were in a coma. Not now, they're out of the coma now, Baruch Hashem. Now they're back to tell the story. When they came out of their coma, they came and testified that the malachim were taking their soul up to the upper worlds, and they were arguing with the angels. They said, no, you can't take me, I'm too young. I have a wife, I have a family, I want to go back down. And we asked them, what are angels? Yeah, angels, what do they look like? They look like white, whatever he explained they look like. But they look like angels, you know they were angels. And I said, you can't take me, we have to take you. We have, Borei Olam wants us to take you to Olam Abba. No, I'm not going with you. What do you mean you're not going with me? I asked them, who are you? We're the angels from the mitzvot that you created. But now we have to take you to our job. And he fended the angels off, and somehow the angels brought him back down. Now this is a guy that's living today. And again, he's not a guy that's looking to tell stories. And by the way, he doesn't tell the story to anybody. Maybe he told the story to 2 or 3 people just to be on record what happened. He's not like a guy looking for attention at all. And what? There's a mitziut of malachim. And that's what you have to know. When you're going to come now, we're going to end the shi'ur now. But know that you leave the shi'ur with an army of angels with you. Now you go to your house. The malachim are coming to you. That's the beracha of Torah. Which means when you're going home tonight, you're not alone now. You have now brought malachim into your home. And this is already the biggest. Anytime you do a mitzvah, you're going to sit down now, do melaveh malkas, or let David HaMelech alav shalom. You'll wash your hands for bread. Know at that moment, malach was created. Chone malach Hashem saviv lira'av, vayhaletzim. And the mitzvah protects you. That's what the Gemara means when it says the mitzvah is magna'u matzla. The mitzvah protects. What protects? What do you mean protects? The malach that's created from the mitzvah is magna umatzah. That saves a person, not only from damage, but now you understand when he's a mitzvah, go read it mitzvah. Because once a person already creates one mitzvah, is one good angel, now he's already surrounding himself in an aura of kiddushah. Once a person is surrounded in an aura of kiddushah, what does that give him a want? To do another mitzvah. And therefore, since the malach is around you, it puts you in a good environment. Mitzvah goreret mitzvah. Avera goreret avera is the same concept. When a person commits an avera, he creates a bad angel. The bad angel creates like a satra hara next to him. It's a bad environment. What does that cause him to do? He wants to do another avera. So therefore, it's like a vicious cycle to the good and a vicious cycle to the bad. Yiratzon should be zochen, the zechut of David HaMelech Alav Shalom. The malachim that we create from our mitzvot should be around us. Aviv Hashem Nireav, and Be'ezat Hashem, it'll be magna u'matzla. It'll give us a magin, v'atzala in all our endeavors. Amen.